welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today is track and field day. We have javelin thrower Taryn Taylor, and we have associate head coach or associate director of track and field, John Wise. Let's start with Taryn. He is a junior. He's from Arc City. We had a little Arc City nostalgia before we got going that we may get back to. Taryn ranks second on Wichita State's career list in the javelin, 243 feet, 7.5 inches. In 2018, he finished second in the American Athletic Conference, and he went on to win the USATF Junior Championships with a throw of 233 feet, 2 inches, went on to compete in Finland at the World Junior Championships. Let's just go back to Sally the Bulldog, Taryn, because we were talking about that before. Tell us about the significance of Sally the Bulldog at Arc City High School.
So every year there's one out in front of the high school that's painted onto the concrete, and you're told as a freshman that if you ever walk on that, the legend is that a senior will pick you up and put you in the trash can. But no one ever walks on it. It's just the fun tradition. There's also one in the foyer at the same deal. Everyone always walks around it, and so there's like a big parting of the traffic that's in the hallway there.
So there's actually a penalty for walking on Sally then. So
yep.
Have you ever seen that penalty enforced?
No one's ever done it. But
all right, I did walk on Sally when I was a student at another high school, and I went to Arc City, and I was told quickly and forcefully, nobody walks on Sally. So there you go. There's your Kansas high school trivia for the day. All right, Taryn, tell us how you ended up at Wichita State from Arc City.
I knew I wanted to go to a good school for engineering. That's my major, is computer science, and Wichita State fit that. And then also I wanted a good track program and throws coach to help me develop better. And out of all the schools that I looked at and could make it to, this was the best choice. So.
Yeah, John Hetzendorf, the throws coach, just does a fabulous job. What kind of impression did he make on you during the recruiting process?
I knew from, I'd come to some of his camps in high school. He had some like summer camps that were 2 days long, and I had kind of met him then, obviously, and I just liked the way he coached. He kind of made sense to me a little bit, and then coming on the recruiting visit and seeing everybody, you know, the team lifting together and practicing together, just had a good environment to it, and so that's what I liked about it.
So you finished third in Class 5A as a senior at Arc City. That would have been 2016, correct?
Yes.
Come to Wichita State, great freshman year. Did you expect to adjust so quickly, make such a splash right away?
No, not at all. My the first meet, I think I threw 63 meters, and my goal was to throw like a PR, just barely a PR, like 60 meters, around 200 feet, and then I threw like 63, and so I was like, okay, so that's pretty interesting, I guess. And then my goals just kept increasing, and it seems like every time I set a new goal, I just kept meeting it, and it was just really, really a weird season to constantly be achieving your goals at such a rapid pace like that. I didn't really know what to do. I just tried to stay healthy and stay focused and keep competing for the championship.
What do you attribute the progress to?
I think just the everyday practice, you know, just getting here and a whole year thinking and training with javelin. You know, before like high school, it would only be, you know, during the track season, we'd go out and just do something for like an hour. So just the exposure to it, I guess, and the specific strength building towards javelin too, all of that just came together and made me like it a whole lot more.
So you were a multi-sport athlete at Arc City.
I did football my freshman year, and then I just kind of quit after that. But then in track, I ran the 100, was on our 4x1 team, and then also ran the 200. So, yeah.
Why did you stick with the javelin?
I just liked it a lot. It's, you know, it's throwing a stick around. It's pretty fun, kind of goofy sometimes. But I don't know. It was just, you could always, like, running, I don't know, running is interesting because you run, and then, I don't know, running always was kind of iffy for me, but javelin, I felt like I could make a steady enough progress that it kind of was addicting in a way. And so as I kept progressing through my years in high school, and then when I got here, just that, like, steady progress that I could find myself working on more so than I could in the sprints, I liked it because of that.
I may be making this up, but I'm going to say anecdotally, it seems like I've done a lot of stories on javelin throwers who are also engineering majors, and they are attracted to the kind of the detail of it, the technique,
yes,
those kind of things. Is there anything, is that ringing any bells for you?
Yeah, I have a fine attention to detail and kind of obsessing over certain small things, especially when it comes to like engineering projects. So javelin is very much like that. You know, you can work on one specific thing, say like you can work on your right arm doing something and then forget about the rest of your body, and you can just try to do drills and different things like that to get that part of the throw working better, and then you can start working your way to other areas that need attention. And so that sort of thing is a pinpoint exercise that you can do is interesting.
So then after that strong freshman season, Tommy John surgery,
mm-hmm.
How do you bounce back from that?
It was rough. It was real rough. The rehab wasn't like hard or anything, but just watching everybody throw and having to just sit on the sideline, especially Aaron Chu with his final season here, not being able to throw with him and get that one last year in, that was rough. But once I started, I started off using like a 1 pound dumbbell to do stuff to like rotate my wrists, and could pick up a water bottle finally after a couple weeks, and then I got the cast off. So that's that slow progress towards being able to throw again started to get me hungry again. And then finally, once I could start throwing again, and I could feel the difference in my elbow from the surgery, it was painful. I mean, I don't think it should feel great after surgery, but once just getting over that and coming back and seeing how much better my arm was going to be and how much better I could be because of the surgery, that made me kind of double down and get back to work.
When I've done Tommy John stories on baseball pitchers, they often say they feel like they come back and kind of immediately they're very strong, then there's a regression, then there's a setback, and then maybe a season later they come back and they're kind of all the way back. Did you have a similar pattern to your comeback?
Maybe so, because of just the lack of like technical training that I could really do. So the javelin isn't so much about like you're really throwing hard as it more is your technique and how much power you can generate from your lower body and up into the throw. So maybe from that, but also I think we didn't compete last year, so I wouldn't quite know. But I think also not being able to compete last year, as much as it sucked to not be able to compete, I think that was really helpful for me to be able to work on certain things and sort of get back to where I was technique-wise before the surgery. So,
and is that because you weren't rushing to get ready for a meet? You could just really focus on the practice,
right,
aspect of it?
Yeah, right. I was pretty nervous going into March before everything shut down. I was kind of nervous about where I was going to be and how the meets were going to go. Practice seemed promising, but you know, javelin is it's a very iffy sport. Feel good one day and not great the next. So yeah, being able to have that downtime during all that to focus on some more things and have some more time to recuperate from everything has been pretty helpful.
So since 2012, Wichita State has Brett Trudeau, John Rizzo, Damian Odell, and Aaron Chu, twice javelin All-Americans. We've got a good history of javelin at Wichita State.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know. I would have to attribute some of it to Coach Hetzendorf for sure. He's watched thousands and thousands of throws, and he just can watch somebody throw and just know kind of what they need to work on and what sort of things could help them work on that to get better. So I would have to attribute some of it to that, but I think it's also sort of a, what do you want to call it, almost a tradition maybe, to come to a good javelin school and compete and try to make it on the leaderboards like that.
A lot of good javelin throwers. You've mentioned track in 2020 and how weird it's been. John, talk us through a little bit about how the coaching staff has tried to keep this, keep progress, keep moving, keep everybody's spirits moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it's been very different. Our athletes have done a great job. Taryn has done well this fall in watching him. And one of the things we've done to kind of measure how we're doing is to have these fall scrimmages, which we've never had before. And so we've had two fall scrimmages. The first one was really like a glorified practice with a little bit of time trial feel. The second one we was a little more official feeling. We went up to the Heskett Center and did some events indoor. I know the long throwers, they got to throw outside later in the week. And then our next one, which is coming up in 2 weeks from now, right before Thanksgiving, is going to be more like our traditional inter-squad meet that we've had in the past, including some outdoor events like Taryn and the javelin. So that's been good to keep our athletes focused on something, to have a goal. You know, every 3 weeks we're going to have some sort of competition. You know, we're going to put uniforms on for the first time in a couple weeks, so that'll be fun. Because it's been such a long time, especially Taryn was saying, you know, he hasn't competed in a couple years, or, you know, almost 3 years by the time it'll be coming around next spring. And so, and a lot of the athletes, they got to compete during the indoor season last year, but they missed that outdoor season. So just replacing some of that, and it's different. You know, we've been practicing, and then that first scrimmage we had, it was a different feeling because you haven't competed in so long. So I'd say that in the fall, that's been our biggest thing, is adjusting to, you know, trying to put these little meets in there. I think they've been a positive thing for our team, but everything's been different. The way we practice, the way we are trying to be more aware of, you know, social distancing and all those kind of things. Classes are different, so just the day is different. And for our coaching staff, recruiting is totally different. We're not allowed to have, official visits, and we can't go recruiting. So we're trying to be creative as the signing date is coming up here as well in a week or two. So we are adjusting to the situation. You know, it's just like if you are a golfer and you hit one in the rough, you got to go in the rough and play it out and make the best of it. And sometimes, you know, it isn't exactly the situation you want. But I think our athletes have done a nice job. I think we're getting better. I've heard from other coaches around the country that it's a struggle, and I think we're doing as good as we can. And I think our administration has been great. Our trainers have been great in dealing with all the circumstances, and have allowed us to generally have normal practice this fall. So we do have a 7-week break coming up when Thanksgiving break and into Christmas break, as the kids are going to finish up their semester online. So that will be a challenge, especially for the kids that need to compete in January when we come back. That's our plan. So they'll have to do a lot of, you know, self-discipline at home, and we'll have to communicate well with kids as they're out of town and things like that. But so that'll be different. You know, basketball team, as an example, they train through this time, they practice through this time, and have games. Track and field, we take a month off of practice and come back and start our season, which is kind of crazy for most people to probably think about. But yeah, it's always a challenge, but this year will be a little bit more of a challenge, but that's just the way this year is going to go anyways.
So Taryn, how do you describe the challenge of, you know, staying mentally fresh, staying motivated?
It's I haven't found it too difficult, to be honest. I think everyone is pretty hungry to compete. And these meets definitely help you stay focused on that. So to, you know, having that big break where no one could do anything, and then being able to finally come back, I think everyone's been pretty focused on just trying to get better as quickly as they can. And then these meets help you sort of lock in on a goal that you want to get to. Yeah, I don't think I haven't had too many problems with it. I think for a lot of, yeah, like I said, it's yeah.
John, you mentioned two scrimmages behind you. You've got a third one coming up later in November. What have you learned about this team?
So it's funny you say that. As we walked out of the second scrimmage, the coaching staff, we were walking out of the Heskett Center, and we were talking to each other, and the consensus was, I think we have a pretty good team. And, you know, it's hard to know because it's just been so long since we competed, but we have everyone back from last year, basically, on our men's side, and we had a good strong team. Our women's team is the defending outdoor conference champions. We didn't have last year's outdoor championship, and we're always better outdoor than indoor, so we have these good events. And most of the team from 2 years ago that were significant athletes are here still. So we're excited, especially about an outdoor team that we have. Indoor, I just think there's a lot of questions about the season period this year. But I think as we build towards the outdoor season, that we feel a little more confident about that and that we have good teams. We have balance like we always have. We have some newcomers that have added some energy and filled some holes for us in our team. And so we feel optimistic. We like our team. We are constantly trying to figure out how to win the American Athletic Conference championship. So that's our goal. And it's still our goal. And then get athletes like Taryn to the NCAA championships and this year to the Olympic trials. That's kind of a goal for, I know, probably Taryn. If you were to ask him, that would be one of his season goals. We have several athletes that have that goal this year. So a lot of things to accomplish this year. It's an important year that highly motivated athletes like Taryn are focused on that. And these other things are little distractions, but they're mostly focused on accomplishing their goals still.
I would guess the women's distance group with Rebecca Topham and Winnie Koski, you would feel really good about. Take us through maybe two or three of the, you know, the areas that you feel are really strong for Wichita State.
Yeah, obviously the outdoor season is a little stronger than indoor because Rebecca only has outdoor. But we also have a new transfer, Nicole McMillan, who only has an outdoor season. She's a graduate student, but is a terrific steeplechaser. Actually, I watched her and Rebecca do a time trial last night, neck and neck. I mean, really good. So we have another really good athlete for the women's distance group.
Where did she transfer from?
She's from Canada. She's from a Canadian university. Yeah, so she's really good. She looks strong, has jumped in and done real well. The distance group, both guys and girls, are real good. You know, our the men's javelin group, the multi-event group is always a strong group. But this year, I think even more so, we've got strength in the hurdles, especially on the men's side. I feel like we have one of the best hurdle crews developing in the nation. We didn't get a chance to run outdoor, so we've got some real good 400 hurdlers that were on our team last year that have another year. So I think that hurdle group on the men's side is going to be one to watch. So some of our traditional areas, and I think and maybe that hurdle group is probably going to be one of our strongest points in scoring the most points on the in the conference in those events.
You mentioned Nicole McMillan, a newcomer you like. Give us another newcomer who's made a strong impression so far.
We've had quite a few. I think that we've got a couple guys in that hurdle group. Jaleel Montgomery, who's a Wichita guy and was a state champion in the hurdles here in Wichita. And Euban Goncalves, who's a transfer from Cloud County, who was from Portugal. Those two guys have come in and done really well. And the girls' side, we've got some really good jumpers. So Faith Turner is a freshman from Pittsburgh, Kansas. And then Karen Livers, she jumped 13 feet in the pole vault in our last scrimmage. And she's a transfer from South Florida. And so she's a multi-event athlete, so adds to that strength in the multi. But the pole vault, an area that we haven't scored as many points as we want recently. She's a girl that, with her vault from our last scrimmage, would be probably top three in the conference. So those are three or four. We've got, you know, 25 newcomers, and we're hoping that half a dozen to 10 can be, you know, immediate helps, and then we got a lot of them that are going to be developing through the years, we think.
So the indoor schedule would typically begin in mid to late January when students start coming back. What's it like putting that schedule together during a pandemic? How's that going?
Almost impossible. Every coach we talk to is having the same questions. Everyone's trying to figure out what the protocols are, how many teams you can have at your meets, how big the teams are, things like that. And so we're starting to get a handle on it, as now we know what our protocols are for hosting a meet. We've got to make sure the other teams can follow those protocols. Our plan, we've always started the indoor season with our triangular with K-State and KU. And this year, that's at K-State, and our plan is still to go to that meet. And as of now, the Big 12 is allowing other conferences to compete against them. The next week, we had planned to meet at Nebraska, which we cannot go to now because the Big 10 is not having out-of-conference competition. So we are scheduling probably some more home meets this year, but we're still trying to find opponents, and we got to figure that out. But we have been talking to teams, and we think we have some teams interested. So it'll be scaled back. We won't be as many overnight trips. We're going to be a little more local and regional. So that's good news for people that want to watch our team. We'll be able to see them. But, you know, we're still targeting the Indoor Conference Championship in Birmingham and the Outdoor Conference Championship in Tampa, Florida this next year. But it's a work in progress for sure. And over the holiday break, I think we're still going to be working on it until the very end.
And just by the fact that outdoor track is outdoors, is it easier than indoors?
In terms of probably competing, I think so. Also, being later in the year, I think will help us, being warmer. And, you know, hopefully by April, some of these issues we have are not, you know, they're figuring them out more than they can in January. So, we still don't know yet. So, you know, for instance, the KT Woodman Classic, which is a huge, ginormous meet that we have, besides the issues that we're talking about, right now there's an NCAA dead period in recruiting. So junior college athletes, we cannot compete against them or have them on our campus competing head-to-head, and that's been a big part of some of our meets we've had. The NCAA hasn't decided how long that dead period is going to go. So if it extends on into April or something like they're talking about, well, then that affects the teams that we can have come and compete against us too. So there's a lot of things that are affecting us. So this year is just going to be different in a lot of ways, and we're kind of taking it 1 week at a time and focusing on what we can control.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.